Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come. You're the president of baseball ops with the White Sox or the Cubs. You could take either job, Ken.
Next 5 years?
Yeah, give me the White Sox roster.
Ken Rosenthal, the MLB Network, and everybody agreed that they would take the White Sox over the next 5 years.
They did.
But the problem is, would you take Theo over the next 5 years?
Here's the thing, Molly. Okay, I do feel comfortable projecting success over the next 5 for the White Sox. But do you know what I mean? There's this problem with the Cubs when having this conversation that to ignore the prime years potentially still while they're under contract, Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras, still a member of the Cubs organization. He's still been the subject of trade speculation, but he's still there. I don't know that when you have a core that has won before and still has the capability of winning again, if you surround, if you supplement your starting rotation, if you get a better, stronger bullpen, if you do the things that I think, frankly, Theo Epstein has done before in the next 2 years, I wouldn't want to give that up.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
In college basketball, our teams are playing tonight.
That's right. That's tonight.
Ball State losing to the Ramblers.
Chirp, chirp. Ball State going to beat Loyola tonight. Sorry, Porter, not your night.
I got to be honest with you. The whole chirp, chirp thing makes me feel like we're going to beat the crap out of you guys.
I mean, come on. What's wrong with chirp, chirp?
It's just not as manly as I was hoping from you.
Chirp, chirp is...
I know what it is.
Yeah, but you know what? If you had a Ball State diploma, if you spent any time there...
You would feel proud of the chirp, chirp?
Well, I don't know about proud, but you would get on board with it.
And the rebound for Loyola will seal the deal. 12-point win. Loyola comes on the road. The Ramblers improved to 5-4.
Go Ramblers!
Molly Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Molly and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. What a special surprise this morning, Mr. David.
Good morning, Molly.
How are you, buddy? How are you? Chirp, chirp, pal.
No, I'm not chirping too loudly or proudly this morning.
Not today.
Chirp, chirp. Is that the fight song? All right. Yeah, not the Cardinals night. Not the Cardinals
Go
night.
Go Ramblers.
Congratulations, Porter. Congratulations to the Loyola Ramblers.
That's right.
They
finally get a kind word from David.
Well,
Go ahead.
Not the first time I've given Loyola a kind word.
Kind word from David. Unusual for the Ramblers.
Yeah. They go into Muncie. They win in a tough building.
If I'm not mistaken, first road win.
Good for
the
Ramblers.
Them.
Yes.
I believe that might be accurate.
Yes.
They did win down in the Caymans, but that's a neutral site.
Can we go there?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's a neutral site. But I think that was good for Loyola basketball, you know?
It's a pity you didn't write about it. Why didn't you write about that game?
I was busy writing about the other game tonight in town. Let's focus on that one. DePaul.
Okay. DePaul's first
loss? No. Yeah, Ball State loses. Tough one. I'm over it.
Okay. Get over it. You're not over it yet, because I believe there's coffee involved.
There is coffee and maybe even some donuts, you know, because it is a Bears Friday on a Wednesday today, brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin', and I am willing to spring for Dunkin'. As long as you bring me a pumpkin donut, I will be fine.
I like you say you're willing to spring. You lost a bet. You are obliged to spring.
I lost.
There's no willing involved. All right. Where there's a will, there's a way, and hopefully the will of one Prince Amukamara will overcome his hamstring. A hamstring issue is keeping Prince off the practice field, maybe off the field tomorrow night when the Bears host the Dallas Cowboys and round up the usual suspects. Taylor Gabriel, Bobby Massey, Ben Broniker all held out of practice as well.
None of those names mean as much as Prince Amukamara.
Yes,
to this game plan,
Amari Cooper. Right?
Yeah, that's a big one, and the fact that you know, it is a compressed week, and yet it isn't. You're playing on a Thursday, but you've had a week off. So the fact that he didn't practice yesterday is a bit troubling because he did not have a great game. We'll get into it later, but man, you do not want to go into a game against Amari Cooper and this Cowboys offense where you have Dak Prescott leading the NFL in yards passing without your starting cornerback.
Jerry Jones stepped forward, and I don't think this is an actual vote of confidence.
In my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
Okay.
You want to talk about the backhand?
That's not a vote of confidence.
That is not
a vote. Okay.
Yeah, he said that he'll be coaching in the NFL. He didn't say where he'd be coaching, and he didn't say he'd be head coaching. So,
and so how can he be that confident that he will be coaching?
I don't know.
Do you think he will be coaching
in the
NFL?
I think he might be a quarterback coach.
Okay. He did not specify head coaching.
No, he didn't.
No. So I guess he could be an assistant.
He could be an offensive coordinator. Somewhere.
He would be.
Would you hire him as your offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I would.
I wouldn't.
Could be the new Mitch Whisperer.
No, wrong tree.
Oh, come on.
Wrong tree.
There's no trees needed.
Barking up the wrong tree there.
There are no trees.
That's not the Andy Reid tree, right?
The Carolina Panthers announced that they have fired Ron Rivera. Chico, our guy, former Bears linebacker, former Bears defensive coordinator. He led that team to a Super Bowl appearance and won 3 NFC South titles. But they got new ownership, and the new owner, obviously, eyeballing somebody. Because with a month left in the season, he's decided that Ron Rivera, the team's not going to win. He's going to fire him in the offseason.
Yeah, he got Mike McCarthy'd.
Said that. Well, there you go. He said that he did want to be talking to people and have Ron hear about it, so he's trying to be up front. So he's firing him.
You know, the owner, as much as I don't like the idea of firing a guy with a month to go, because I do think there's a tad bit of disrespect involved there. He did answer every question. He didn't make himself available. He was accountable for the decision that he made. I don't like the decision that he made. I think Ron Rivera, you know, class guy, he's going to force somebody else in another organization to make a really tough decision. There's going to be somebody out there who's Renteria'd for Ron Rivera, you think.
So you're saying he will be coaching in the NFL next year?
He will be coaching the NFL next year. I think I can
he'll
say that confidently.
He'll be head coaching maybe, huh?
I think he'll be a head coach. I think you could look at Cleveland. You could look at Dallas.
He'd be an upgrade in Cleveland right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah. It's interesting because Chico and the Bears, right? They have always been sort of on the wrong timeline.
Right.
When he's been available, they have had a coach. When they've been looking for a coach, he hasn't been available. And it's just a pity because that connection is
And I'm not suggesting that they're going to, you know, get rid of Matt Nagy for Ron Rivera before people start texting in.
Yep.
No. But I do think it's interesting to see some of the scenarios out there that could be in play. How would you like, if you're a Bears fan, to see Ron Rivera in Detroit for the next 5 years? I mean, that would be something that you would not really welcome because I don't know about you, but I think that he is not your – we'll talk to Michael Lombardi about this later. We talk about this ongoing conversation about what you want out of a head coach. Ron Rivera is not your play collector. He's not your play caller. He's not your innovative genius, but – he's your guy that's going to lead you somewhere. He's a guy that's going to get people to believe.
Yeah, he's a leader of men. The Grizzlies will be without Ja Morant tonight when they visit the Bulls. Please, come on. No Morant? This can't not be a victory.
You're disappointed?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. If I had a ticket to the game, I'd want to see him.
I think he's worth watching. Yeah, you would like to see him.
And I'll be watching the game, so yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed.
It's a break for the Bulls.
They've already beaten him there, so without him, they should be able to beat the Grizzlies here, right? This has to happen. Period. End of story.
I don't know that he's had a worse game as a rookie than the one he played against the Bulls. I think they caught him on the right night.
Oh, I think maybe they had a little something to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. I'd like to believe that, too.
Merely coincidence.
Merely coincidence.
The Blackhawks back on the ice in Boston, but Duncan Keith out with a groin.
Yeah, they miss him. There's no question about it. They have missed him. They are a team that's reeling right now. The coach is feeling a little pressure. Some of the moves that he's made, you know, boy, that was a great what, four-game win streak they experienced? I hope that's not the peak of the season.
You thought he might get fired, and then they had the four-game win streak, and now you're back to thinking he might be fired.
I don't know. I just – would they admit an error in judgment that quickly? I don't think that would be the Blackhawks' way. I think they're going to probably give him a little bit more time. I don't sense he's – I don't think the seat is as hot as some people are suggesting. But who knows? You never know how bad this could get.
The college football playoff rankings stay the same at the top. We talked about it yesterday, and they agree with us. Number one is Ohio State, followed by LSU, then Clemson and Georgia, Utah number five, Oklahoma sixth, Baylor is seven.
Big Ten gave out their awards yesterday. Interesting. Your guy, Ryan Day, Coach of the Year, voted by the media. PJ Fleck, Coach of the Year, voted by the coaches.
Maybe the media waited and saw what happened.
You mean losing?
Well, they lost a couple of games.
They lost a couple of games.
Took them out of the...
Still, that's a pretty good turnaround season.
They had an unbelievable year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Ryan Day did very well.
He did. No doubt about it. And following a legend and putting that program in a position to win a national championship.
Right.
That's great.
Now, moving forward, you got to see if he can recruit. He apparently can coach, but can he recruit? And that, those are Urban Meyer players, right?
They are Urban Meyer players, and that is the question about Ryan Day. At the same time, doesn't that program to some degree recruit itself as successful as it's been?
No program recruits itself. Even Notre Dame, even Alabama. You got to work hard to get players to go there, and it's a constant, constant effort, and it takes time. And you know, it's interesting not to tie too many things together, but that's one of the things that the Carolina owner said. He talked about it taking time. That clearly a message to whatever college coach or McCarthy he wants to talk to.
Who do you think he wants to talk to? Who are you angling for? Or I mean, I think you have somebody in mind when
Ron
you're saying that he's eyeing somebody. Who do you think?
Well, I think Mike McCarthy is the guy that comes to mind, right? And they're broken on offense, and you got to wonder about the quarterback. And I think their pick would right now, if they were picking, it would be the 14th pick in the draft. That is not a very high draft pick.
I think that's
a valid
point. And good speculation if you go in NFL. The first email I got yesterday afternoon were odds from, I would have to check who the odds were from. Jim Harbaugh was the guy at the top of the list to replace Ron Rivera.
It's an interesting one.
Could that be a guy in play?
Let me ask something. If Jim Harbaugh leaves Michigan, is he not admitting that he just failed because he couldn't beat Ohio State?
Yes, absolutely.
So does he want to do that?
Probably doesn't want to do that, but at the same time, that would be a pretty good soft place to land.
Yeah.
To be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
I thought you were going to say Urban Meyer because the big rumor is that he's going to USC. So if you're making a move to fire someone.
That story is fascinating to follow because it's back and forth. And then overnight, I think the latest is that they're talking to Helton and they're saying that there are going to be some staff changes and he's going to stay.
Oh, boy.
That's the latest report, although the reports, as they say, have been fluid.
Yes, that's exactly right. All right. College basketball, number four, Michigan, stuffed by number one, Louisville, 58-43. Number 10, Duke, winners over number 11, Michigan State. That one was 87-75. And Northwestern beat Boston College on the road. And, of course, Loyola with no trouble at all with Ball State.
Well, they had some trouble.
It's the Mully Haw ball.
They had some trouble.
Well, they won handily.
I'm sure the traffic getting to Muncie, there's no easy way to get to Muncie.
Oh, so
that was probably the trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. Once they got there, it seemed like things went pretty well.
Yeah. Seems like the Ramblers took care of business. I didn't pay for the game. I didn't play for the Flow Hoop. I think it was called Flow Hoop, was the Cayman Island thing. So I monitor them, but I did not want to shell out cabbage.
What comes with Flow Hoop? What else comes with that?
I don't know, man.
Cayman Island basketball. What else comes with that?
The game last night was
a drink special?
ESPN.
Okay.
So you were going to have to pay $5.99 to watch the game, but you could cancel at any time. What about halftime, David? Would you have canceled at halftime?
Yeah, I probably would have canceled at halftime. That game got out of hand quickly. I was following on Twitter a little bit, following some of the reports and saw enough. And I can't say that I followed it that closely.
The thought around Major League Baseball is that the Sox are going to sign Zach Wheeler, or that's their number one target. We got the owners' meetings coming up, so get that done. Don't let him get to the owners' meeting if that's what you want
to
do.
That's a big ticket to write if you're Jerry Reinsdorf, but I think at this point in time, you're willing to do that.
Well, at this point in time, you ought to.
You're going to be north of $100 million.
But you haven't spent that money in 3 years. You messed around last year.
You've already written the richest contract in franchise history, and you're about to do that again.
Don't stop now, boys. 312-644-6767. We got the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5 is brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Should the Bears be proud to be playing meaningful games in December, given the expectations they had coming into the season? And how meaningful are these games, given their status as a 500 team?
Yeah, I guess they should be proud that the team didn't fall apart. Is that what the head coach said yesterday? That despite how bad they were early, they stayed together and now they're playing meaningful games? Boy, that's almost damning with faint praise, isn't it? I think it was a weird comment, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how meaningful they are. We'll find out tomorrow if these games are meaningful, if they get over 500, and if they really have a chance to make a run of some kind. But, you know, 3 in a row, you could be proud of after losing, what, 4 earlier in the year? So I guess it's a little premature, in my opinion, and how meaningful these games are. You're a 500 team, right? Get over 500 and come talk.
Rationalization can produce a lot of things that come out of the mouths of people, and especially in sports, that maybe you look back and think, really? I mean, what?
His pitch to keep the coach of the year crown?
I think it was his pitch to kind of explain. I think he was asked a question about, you know, the Bears are in this sort of mini surge here. So they won 2 in a row, possibly 3 in a row. How did you keep it together? And in that context, I think he probably, you know, said some things that do sound a little bit odd when we parse them and when we kind of look at them as a standalone comment. In the NFL, if you're playing games that mean something in December, it means you still have a chance to get to the playoffs. So these games are meaningful until they're not. And Thursday night is still meaningful because you can do the math and there's still kind of a small percentage chance that they can get to the playoffs or keep their hopes alive. So that's why there's meaning. If they were below 500, if they were a team already out of it, like a lot of these teams, look, at the Panthers are already making coaching changes, for goodness sakes, then it would be a lot different rhetoric. I think he's just trying to continue to, you know, keep the goals in play and kind of keep everybody's interest intact. And, yeah, it does seem like a bit of a stretch because and a lowering of the bar, that goes without saying, because this season started with much different expectations than playing games that are quote-unquote meaningful for a 500 team in December.
it is all about expectations. I mean, if you flip-flopped this year's Bears season and last year's Bears season, we'd be looking at them much differently. You know, if the Bears were 6-6 at this point last year with Matt Nagy as the first-year head coach coming off a, what was it, a 4-12 season, something terrible like that, we'd be saying, wow, the Bears are really, they're taking a jump up here. They're still playing. They're competitive in December. These games mean something. But he was almost, you know, hindered by his own success that he had last year, which set these expectations so high. And I think that defensively they've been good, but again, they were not as good as they were last year in that particular department. So to me personally, as a fan of the team and somebody who works in the media here and desperately needs this team to be relevant as deep into the season as possible, I don't know if proud would be the word that I would use, but I think that, you know, the fact that they are still in it, technically they're in the hunt, they've got a puncher's chance. You don't know what's going to happen down the stretch. We've seen over and over in this league for years that any team could beat any other team, and you can't just look at the schedule and say, oh, this is a win, this is a loss, et cetera, et cetera. So good for Matt Nagy for not losing the locker room. I mean, if that would have happened in the second year, I think that would be pretty much of an indictment of him as a head coach. But proud, I don't know about that, but playing meaningful games, there's something to it. And I think that, hey, I'm ready to watch this game tomorrow night, and I hope that all Bears fans are pumped up for it as well.
Given the expectations of this team and given the fact that in, you know, training camp, the phrase Super Bowl was uttered by a player or two, there's nothing to be proud of. You should be embarrassed, quite frankly. Embarrassed. But you're 500. You've made it to 500, so that should feed into this team and make them hungry to try. And, you know, I know running the table is kind of a crazy thing to put out there for this inconsistent Bears team, but that should be their mentality. So I wouldn't say proud is the word, but you should be hungry. Hungry is the word. Hungry to prove yourself. So that's why, given their 500 status, yes, these games are all meaningful, and you should be, if you're the Bears and the position that they're in, making a push here and believing that you can win out.
They're on a 2-game winning streak over teams with a combined 5 wins.
I understand. And
they
have
6.
I understand that, Mully, but the thing about it is, you got to have some fight in here. You got to play better than you have in stretches earlier on in the season. This has been an embarrassment of a team, and if nothing else, that should serve as a reason for them to show you something. And it could start with a 3-game winning streak and beating the Cowboys.
I want to be very wrong about this, but boy, I felt like Matt Nagy like let out a big sigh of relief yesterday up on that podium, like he was just like content, like the. We didn't lose the locker room. It could have went a lot differently during that stretch. I don't think that we should be throwing bouquets and accolades at him for that. Now, what else would you expect him to say? Oh, geez, I'm really, this shelf life of proud in air quotes has like a 30-ish hour window to it about. Okay.
Sure.
Because unfortunately, if things go the way we don't want them to go Thursday night at the lakefront, we're going to go back to why didn't you run the ball against Green Bay? You know, if the kicker would have made a kick, if we would have committed, we meaning the Bears would have committed to the run and the I formation a little bit earlier, things could have gone. We wouldn't be sweating each game out. Now, we wouldn't have won the division, but we'd be potentially hosting a wild card game, and now they have to. You've now put a ton of pressure on yourself. To Mully's point, you won games that you should have won, and in this league, a win's a win. But I just feel like this narrative could change greatly in about 30 hours.
Without a doubt. But part of every game plan is psychological too, and this is part of trying to keep your team confident going into this game.
He's not satisfied. He just came off a little like yesterday, and I didn't like that.
Yeah,
great question again.
How concerned should the Bears be that cornerback Prince Amukamara missed practice again? What are the best options defensively if Prince cannot play?
Well, very concerned, only because there's not a category beyond very concerned, alarmed, panicked. I mean, this is This is your third starter you could be going into the playing the Dallas Cowboys without. You don't have Akeem Hicks. You don't have Danny Trevathan. Now you don't have Prince Amukamara. I mean, this is not good because I don't care how poorly he may have played in spurts against the Lions. This is a guy that you trust in situations as big as Thursday's is to the Bears. And when you have a receiver as good as Amari Cooper, and the Bears don't chase the good receivers. They don't usually take one guy. If you have Kyle Fuller and you say, okay, you take Amari Cooper and you go wherever he does on either side of the field, that's not going to happen. So what you have is a mismatch possibility with Kevin Tolliver, who has played three defensive snaps this year. Or you could put Buster Skrine on the outside and play Duke Shelley at nickel. That's not a good option either. So you're out of good options. You don't have a good replacement, really. Your depth at corner hasn't been tested because your corners have been pretty durable and been pretty good. Overall, I don't think they've probably had the type of year you expected, and maybe not as good as they were in 2018, but they have been better than average, and I think that's going to be a big loss. So this is the kind of loss that when you're evaluating this game and you're making a pick, knowing the Bears are going to be playing without Amukamara influences your pick. So it's big.
Yeah, you know, I think they're going to have to do one of two things. I think that you're right, David. They don't move the corner with the receiver, but they're going to have to move Kyle Fuller with Amari Cooper. They're going to have to change that up. And if they don't change it up, then they're going to have Skrine play the other corner, and you're going to have to go with Duke Shelley, because I don't think leaving Kevin Tolliver on Amari Cooper should be an option in this. I don't think that's a very wise game plan. I think that's something that'll get you beat. So, yeah, it's a problem. It's going to affect the game plan, and you said it. Now you're down three starters, right? You're already struggling because you're down starters, and it's going to make it a lot worse. So I would be very concerned. I think it's a big injury. I think it's one to keep an eye on. I think even if, you know, with hamstrings, even if you're playing, you know, you can go down at any minute, and who knows? So I think they got to take all that into account. So my advice to them would be to have Fuller play Cooper. And if they don't do that, then they're going to have to start Skrine. And they're going to have Duke Shelley play the nickel. And that's not a great option, but I don't think there's another one.
Well, I don't like the idea of Buster Skrine at cornerback. And maybe it is a better option than Kevin Tolliver, who is a relative unknown. I mean, I vaguely remember him playing at LSU, but he hasn't really done much to speak of in the NFL. I don't know, I've been just really underwhelmed with Buster Skrine, I think, so far this year, and maybe that's why I want to stay away from that scenario. It might be what they have to do out of necessity. I mean, didn't Prince have a similar injury last year? I know he only played in 14 games last year. Was that also the hamstring? When this thing starts popping up frequently like this, when a guy is 30, 31 years old, that's a little it's a little worrisome, I think, for a cornerback, for a guy who relies on his legs so much. So as far as Thursday, you know, you hope that he can take the shot at Toradol or whatever, in the words of Dustin, and get out there, because he is a much...
Drop his drawers
there you go.
And take a shot at Toradol.
Get the whole thing out there. Trademark. You hope that he's out there, because the you know, next man up and all that, you can say it and you can believe it. And I'm sure the guys in the locker room want to believe that. But Prince Amukamara is such a step up from guys like Tolliver and Skrine and Duke Shelley. You just hope he can get out there and be not 100%, but maybe even 60, 70% of what you're going to get normally from him, because he's a damn good corner.
Well, this Prince Amukamara situation just underscores how lucky the Bears were. And I know you guys have mentioned this earlier, earlier on in the season, but just how lucky the Bears were last year to have the health that they had. It's very alarming that Prince Amukamara missed practice again, because this is just another injury that you really can't afford, because there aren't really any great scenarios here. Yeah, you're going to move Kevin Tolliver over from special teams. That's what they're going to do, more than likely, because Buster Skrine, moving him is not really a good option. And then, and yeah, Toradol. Let's all cross our fingers for a little Toradol shot for Prince.
Yeah, let's hope they're not out of it at Walgreens or wherever you get your Toradol these days. Let's hope that's
Can you get Toradol
available
at Walgreens?
I mean, I don't.
You
know,
must be able.
Where do you get it?
Can't you get anything at Walgreens?
I know a guy.
Almost. You know a guy, David? Yeah, Northwest Indiana guy.
Yeah. Easy there.
I mean, you brought it up. I mean, I just, you know, put it on the tee. I got to take a swing. This is troubling. This is a troubling situation. I, it's not like Prince of Mukamara has actually had like the greatest year either. Okay, but they want to get the ball down the field. This could be the reason why. I think, Mully, I think you made a great point. This is when you change it up. Okay, in desperate times, right? Call for desperate measures. You know, wherever their best wide receiver goes, Kyle Fuller has to go. Period. That's it. So you got to do that. And you know, if Buster screens the guy, then Buster screens the guy. If Tolliver's the guy, Tolliver's the guy. They know better than I do at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question we're going to ask management here today.
The Bulls return home tonight to play the Grizzlies without Ja Morant. Does that make this a must-win? Are there signs the Bulls are on the verge of a breakthrough?
The verge of a breakthrough? They're playing some crappy teams back-to-back, so is a two-game winning streak a breakthrough? Look, get 20 points for both Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine and do it two games in a row. I guess that's what we're talking about. Yeah, okay, that's a big breakthrough. I don't think the Bulls are on the verge of a breakthrough. I think this is a gimme. I think the scheduled gods are smiling upon them. Take advantage of it. Win the damn game. I mean, I think they beat him with him anyway there. So go ahead and feel free to beat him without him. I don't know that I'm going to give him a ton of credit for doing it. It's kind of like beating the Giants and the Lions back-to-back weeks. But you know what? It's a start.
Last time the Bulls welcomed a team with six wins to the United Center, they were beaten. And the Blazers came in, and they looked like the Blazers back with the Clyde Drexler days. And that's not good, and it won't be good tonight if the Bulls can't win this game. There's no excuse for them to lose. If Morant's not playing and the Grizzlies come in here 6-14, they're, you know, only two teams in the West that are worse than them. You cannot lose this game. And if you win this game, then you may be able to talk about a breakthrough or a change in direction. Or maybe you believe in your bench again. And maybe Markkanen and LaVine can play a little bit more of a two-man game tonight the way they did the other night in Sacramento, who, by the way, they felt like they took the Bulls lightly. Everybody looks at the Bulls as their gimme game. So the Bulls can't do that and overlook the Memphis Grizzlies. They have to look at this as a game they cannot afford to lose in front of their home crowd, because there's enough of that going on. There's enough people not finding reasons not to watch the Bulls. You need to give them a reason tonight to sit, say, all right, this is we can duplicate, we can win back-to-back games finally and do something we haven't done, and that is start to restore some credibility if there's any left. And there is some left, but I hope that they play tonight like you expect them to play every night and like they haven't been playing consistently enough.
I expect them to play poorly every night because that's what they've been doing so far this year.
Fair enough.
On the verge of a breakthrough, they're 3-7 over their last 10. They just lost to the Bloody Warriors. And I mean, literally, the Bloody Warriors, these guys are just ravaged with wounds and injuries. And the roster is so depleted. That is an NBA G League roster that they're dealing with. I know Draymond's back. But my God, the Warriors, they're like 4-100 already this year. I don't know how they've played so many games.
Ravaged with wounds.
It sounds like
it's Outlander.
Civil War.
Yeah.
Wow. The Bulls are absolutely terrible.
My dear wife, we have been
ravaged with wounds.
Dearest Betsy. The Bulls are not even close to being relevant enough or good enough to be in must-win or statement game territory. Show me a week or 2 weeks where they're actually playing competitive ball and staying in games with the teams that are better than them and beating the teams that they are more talented than, because they haven't been doing any of that so far this season. You need to see way more consistency from Markkanen. You need to see LaVine, you know, not jack up 40 shots a game if he doesn't need to do that. You need to see maybe a little bit more of Coby White. I don't think he should be starting quite yet. I think that's a little premature, but you want to see him out there off the bench as early and often as possible. So no, they're not on the verge of a breakthrough. They're not even close. I wouldn't be surprised to see them lose tonight to Memphis at the United Center. I mean, this thing is just teetering in the wrong direction right now, and they're building up so much ill will with Pax and Gar, MIA. They're hanging out with Ryan Pace in the Cayman Islands or wherever the hell they're at together, away from the eyes of the media. You have Boylan out there embarrassing himself after every single game. And then on Twitter, you can't, you know, even, God bless the whoever runs the Bulls social media account. They can't throw anything up there without getting like 500 angry replies. Fire this guy. Fire this guy. You suck. You stink. Go to hell. So this whole organization right now is in a bad way. This is dire straits right now. They better beat the Grizzlies. This isn't a must win. It's like, you bet your ass you better win this game.
Isn't everybody angry on Twitter?
Yeah, that's the general rule, I guess. Okay. You're right.
You know, Kevin, I like that. This is a you bet your ass you better win game for the Bulls. Yes. Again, you know, I said this in our first question. You can go into the radio.com app and go ahead and rewind it. The Bears should be embarrassed. The Bulls should be embarrassed as well, given the expectations. Playoff talk from everybody from the front office to the team. And you come out and you start the season the way you have. It's bad. Yes, the Bulls have been very bad, but there's a little bit of light, right? Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen had 20-point games together for the first time all season. Wow. And yeah, I know it was against Sacktown, and they also suck, but you got to look for some light here, because this is a dismal state that our Chicago winter sports are in right now. It's not very great, so I'm looking for the positives. So there's a positive. You know, another positive is the Bulls played a little, they've been playing some better defense at least. That's looking a little better. So there are some positives here.
Ray, you used embarrassment in two of your answers. You're Mr. Sunshine today.
I know. But I'm looking for the positives
off, really
here.
Hard, wow.
Yeah, it did. I'm refreshed. But I'm looking for some positivity with the
all
Bulls
right
here.
That's what happens when you go south. Your positivity goes right down the drain. I'm not proud of myself, because I also fell for the, I think the Bulls could get the seventh or eighth seed in the East. I really fell for that. They talked about, Paxson talked about it, Boylan talked about it, we talked about it. I really thought that that was a real possibility, and I'm ashamed of myself. But here's the problem with tonight. If they win, well, they beat the Grizzlies. Yeah, they beat the Grizzlies without Ja Morant. And if they lose, how do you lose to the Grizzlies? How do you lose to the Grizzlies with Ja Morant? They are in an absolute no-win situation tonight. The only thing, I think you'd have to have Markkanen and Zach go for like 25 plus each. Like that would be the window of hope, or is Laurie turning a page? I mean, maybe that's what we're looking for tonight, regardless of wins and losses. Can this Batman and Robin, can this dynamic duo get it together two games in a row, just regardless of the competition?
Regardless of the competition, you're right. They beat Memphis tonight. They beat Golden State Friday. They haven't won back-to-back games versus anybody all season
anybody
long. So let's get it started.
Anybody.
I don't care if it's against bad teams.
I don't care who it's against either. Yes.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question, and obviously a ripe one.
Should White Sox fans be more excited about free agent targets like Zach Wheeler, or trade possibilities like Joc Pederson? What is the upside versus downside of these moves?
Oh, boy. It's a time of the offseason where the annual White Sox rumored trade for Joc Pederson. Let's not talk about it, though, because then it might foil it. Remember last winter?
Oh, yeah, it came out.
He was the one who...
They had the deal done until it came
Twitter out. Twitter ruined
it.
Those angry people on Twitter, Kevin, they ruined the Joc Pederson trade.
What else is new?
You know, I like the idea of them getting a right fielder with that kind of power. I mean, 36 home runs last year. You know, he hit 249.
That equals 70 at
I know.
The
yeah, well,
rate.
Depends on the baseball. Depends on the baseball. OBP of 339, OPS 876. This is somebody who would fit. Yeah, I don't know what you would have to give up to get him to an organization in the Dodgers that has a lot of prospects anyway. Probably not much. I don't know about the contractual realities. You'd have him for another year, I believe. And then there's all sorts of things to consider. Is he a better option than Nick Castellanos if you get him free agency for nothing? I don't know. Maybe that's a backup plan. If they get Joc Pederson, you'd feel pretty good about their right field situation because he's a left-handed bat that they've identified as necessary. I'm a little bit more concerned about the fact that the longer this goes on without them signing Zach Wheeler, the more teams you're starting to hear are in the mix and maybe, you know, making this a competitive offer to him that may jack his price up, but they may lose him. So if you're prioritizing, Zach Wheeler's still number one, but Joc Pederson, you could live with him, I think, in right field and feel pretty good about that.
Joc Pederson would be a huge upgrade in right field. Yeah. He'd be great if you could go ahead and do that. Now, this is what you have to balance. Zach Wheeler, all it costs you is money. I think you got to get a starting pitcher. I think Zach Wheeler is the key to the offseason. It's the guy that they have targeted and that they want. And I really, if they don't get him, I'm going to be heartily disappointed because he's probably number three and they're not in on one or two. So that is very upsetting, that idea. Go ahead and make it happen. Now, the problem is, as you say, that, you know, maybe he doesn't want to come here because they've given him the big contract offer and he's not moving. He must think he's got more coming. So we'll find out, because he should get a sense of that at the owners' meetings, and we'll figure all that out. But ideally, you'd have him off the board, right? I keep checking every day, hoping that they've signed the guy, because I don't want them I don't want him going somewhere else or some dark horse candidate, San Diego, sneaking in and making a move at the last second.
Reds.
When you think you had something going. Reds are another team. I'm saying last year, San Diego.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Referencing what happened with
you're still
thought he we whose name shall never be not spoken anymore.
I just said we'll never mention it. Then, speaking of the Padres, when you start talking about trading for a guy, that sends a chill down my spine, right? So who are you trading? I was trying to figure out yesterday what the names were that were being bandied about in that a year ago. But clearly, if you get this guy, it's if you get Peterson, it's a move for money, right? Because you know that you have 1 year anyway where you're not going to have to pay through the nose. So you get a significantly cheaper option than going after Castellanos. I mean, the left-handed bat's a big deal too, but I think it has to do with money. So you're trading assets to kind of buy you a year of this guy. Where does he fit in? Does he want to be there? I think there's a lot of things to be concerned about. So I would rather them go out and buy a player than trade for a player.
Well, I think they should do both, and they need to do both. As far as Wheeler goes, listen, he's out there. He's ripe for the taking. Give him 100, 120, whatever it is that you need to bring him in here. Sign the check.
Yep.
Let's do it. As far as Jock Peterson goes, man hit 36 home runs last year. The Dodgers draft well. They recruit well. They acquire players in a very smart way. They have ready-made replacements. He's in the last year of his deal. So I don't think you have to give up a ton for the last year of control of him. Obviously, you get him in-house and you talk about an extension, hopefully. But I think for 1 year of Jock Peterson, it's not going to cost you a ton. They should make both of these moves. They already should have made both of these moves.
Yeah, I'm going to pull the reverse John Fox here and say, instead of it's all a problem, this is all great for the White Sox. Both great options. Which one would I be more excited about? I'd say Zach Wheeler, because just because of the importance of the starting rotation. But adding a Jock Peterson would be great. It would be great to add him to right field. Would solve your problem there. I mean, look, another option is Nick Castellanos. I'm a big Nick Castellanos fan now, and every day is opening day and all that stuff. But you know, Jock Peterson is a better option defensively. He'd give you the power you need with the left-handed bat. So these are both great things to be excited about. Hopefully they do them both.
Now, most of the time I'm supposed to stay out of White Sox business, but I don't like the idea of trading assets when you can go out and buy things and they have the money to go out and buy things. But this Zach Wheeler thing is getting a little troubling. I mean, do the Sox have to overpay?
Yeah.
Because they're the Sox?
Yeah.
Is that the deal? Because Zach Wheeler, if you just took his stats, if you went to the internet and just look, he's not worth that kind of money. Now, maybe he's worth that kind of money to the White Sox because where they're at in this process right now, but that's a lot of money for the back of his baseball card.
Top 10 pitcher in the National League for the last two seasons, back to back.
But most American League guys, and I know a couple, would say, oh, that was in the National League. If he's a top 10 guy in the National League,
I don't sound like that.
He's about a top 30 guy in the American League.
I don't quite get the question.
Was that kind of a baby Mac voice?
Who was that?
It was kind of like 35th and Shields Beverly voice.
Okay.
Beverly is nowhere near 35th and Shields.
So like a combination. If you took the love child, the 35th
everything
and Shields,
south of Roosevelt,
Beverly, it would be that.
I don't quite get the question.
Jeff Passan of ESPN described the Cubs as manic and committed to making a big trade, almost for the sake of making a big trade. Does that sound like Theo Epstein? And could that mean the Cubs are more likely to start the process of major change by trading a player at next week's GM meetings that is not considered a core piece?
Oh, boy, there's so much there. I would say that you know, for the first time we saw Anthony Rizzo's name mentioned. I don't know if that's if that's real or if it's just how crazy they are. They're just they're manic. They're just absolutely got to get rid of somebody. It's all about getting rid of somebody. I think they're smart. I think they're going to take their time, and I think they're going to make a right move. I don't think they're manic. I think they're committed to making a trade, but not for the sake of it. I don't believe that. I think that they're smart enough to understand what their assets are and what their assets are worth, and they're checking out the market on all that stuff, and they're going to make a good deal if they make one.
Been around Theo Epstein a long time, and not once have I ever considered the word manic to describe anything he has said or done.
Or have you ever thought about him making a trade for the sake of it?
No.
No.
No, this is not a guy who I think looks at the change for the sake of change idea. I think he understands the value sometimes of a change of scenery for a guy, and that's a different kind of discussion. But I don't think he's going to be desperate or manic in his approach to this offseason. It may take some time. He may wait it out. He might be waiting for the right time. I think they're not going to trade Anthony Rizzo. I can't imagine a scenario.
There's no market for him.
No, there's not. And, I mean, and he's more valuable to the Cubs than anybody else.
Exactly. If you trade him, then you're making a trade for the sake of making a trade.
Yeah, and I don't see that happening. So maybe somebody like Schwarber, maybe somebody like a lesser piece, maybe one of the non-core four guys does get moved first, but that would be because they get value in return. Of the four guys, I still think it's going to be Wilson Contreras that goes, and they try to work out something with Javi, and then they wait to see with Chris Bryant. But I don't see Rizzo leaving town at all.
No, it doesn't make sense to me. And the problem is that Bryant, Baez, Rizzo, Contreras are really the only guys with big value that are going to fetch you any sort of a return. I mean, I like Kyle Schwarber, but he's not going to get you a haul back to replenish this 84-win team. Certainly not going to trade Kyle Hendricks. He's the only good pitcher you've got under the age of 50. So they're... I don't want to say manic because that's very un-Theo-like, but they're kind of up against it right now. They've got this is a huge, huge winter for Theo Epstein and the future of the Cubs.
They have a pitcher over 50?
They're all over 50. Okay. Lester just turned 53, I think. Darvish turns 50 in a week.
Look, I respect Jeff Passan tremendously, but I just don't buy it. Not at all. This does not sound like Theo Epstein whatsoever. So I'm not buying it. I still think a core piece will be the first to fall. That's the most likely scenario, I believe, here in the winter for the Cubs.
I don't think Anthony Rizzo's going anywhere, but I do think somebody's going somewhere. I think they need a shakeup in that clubhouse more than just Joe being gone and Rossi being in. I do think there'll be a trade just for the sake of making a trade.
Okay, 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.